The stories of our region's larger mills from the early 20th century and their redevelopment are well documented. The Atherton Mill in South Charlotte, the Luray Mill in Gastonia, the Cannon Mills in Kannapolis. Today, WFAE's Gwendolyn Glenn tells us the history of Concord's Warren Clay Coleman Mill. It was one of the most significant because it was the nation's first African-American-owned and operated textile mill, and this year it was placed on the National Register of Historic Places.
From the outside, the 96,000-square-foot Coleman Mill looks like most large brick factories of its day, but its beginning is so very different.
It was built as part of what one writer called the noble experiment of Warren C. Coleman, but who harbored a dream. The dream that a textile mill could be built and operated by persons of color.
That's Cabarrus County Superior Court Judge Clarence Horton narrating a local cable program on the mill and its founder, Warren C. Coleman. A former slave, Coleman delved into the industry as an owner at a time when slavery had ended only 35 years earlier and African Americans were rarely even hired in factories.
Frederick Douglass suggested that the form black-owned textile mills. Efforts were made in two or three places, Anniston, Alabama. I think Booker T. Washington tried in the mid-1890s in Huntsville, Alabama. All the experiments had failed, but he had the conviction that he could make one succeed.
Coleman was a determined man and built the mill with hardwood floors, bricks made on site, and floor-to-ceiling hard pine wood beams that are still sturdy today. At its height, the mill employed just over 300 African Americans to make yarn. But Coleman also envisioned a school, mill village housing, and other businesses on site. Again, Judge Horton.
He put about every cent he could get of his own in the enterprise because he was determined to make it succeed.
Newspaper articles praised his entrepreneurial prowess. They credited his can-do spirit partly to the years he served as an indentured servant to a white Concord attorney after the Civil War who taught Coleman the ins and outs of business. By 1871, he opened a general store downtown at the age of 22.
That was in 1870 and 71 was a little unusual, but he always had very good relationships with the white customers and his store grew.
Hi, Ms. King.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
At a funeral wake, Reverend Donald Anthony talks to members of Price Memorial AME Zion Church, which Coleman also built. Anthony chairs the Historical Association of Concord. He says after Coleman opened his store, he took business classes at Howard University, later branched out into real estate, and built more than 100 rental homes. With his wealth in hand, Coleman persuaded other African Americans to invest in the mill.
What he seemed to want to do was to gather the people together of the community and create a mill, create a resource where individuals of the black community could take care of themselves. It reflected a desire in that day of African Americans coming together and changing their own economic situation.
It wasn't easy. Although Coleman was respected by many whites, a few invested in the mill, Judge Horton says he also faced racism.
There were several local textile newspapers or magazines in those days. Sometimes they ran articles that were not completely friendly to the notion of a black-owned textile mill. But as far as actual violence, there was an incident where several of Mr. Coleman's buildings burned. The newspaper reported it was from a faulty flue. No one is quite sure.
Coleman wanted the mill to be operated by African Americans, but he had to bring in a few whites because insurance companies would not sell policies to black-owned businesses. The mill's equipment was refurbished and required lots of maintenance because Coleman could not secure loans for new machinery. But even with setbacks, the mill opened in 1901, and Anthony says
that was really a game changer for the community because African Americans didn't have any place to be employed except in the homes of some people, but they were not used to paying African Americans. They were their slaves. So this represented that dream to be self-sustaining.
But soon the mill faced hard times because of high cotton prices. Coleman sold a lot of his real estate to keep it afloat, but fell ill suddenly in 1904 and died. Some suspect foul play. The mill closed shortly afterwards and was sold in a foreclosure sale. Its legacy, Judge Horton says, is that it opened doors for African Americans.
In 1913, we had a hosiery factory. Those folks employed black seamstresses and workers. He had laid the foundation for that, and I think people were more accepting.
The mill became part of the Cannon Mills Company for some years. Today, it is home to businesses such as several specialty auto body and auto parts shops and a distillery. Current owner Bill Bryant ran a large printing operation out of it for a time and leases a large portion of the mill.
We're actually on my way right now to show space to somebody who rebuilds motorcycles. Every now and then I'm approached by people who want to do this and that with it, but right now I'm sort of comfortable where it is.
There's a plaque honoring Coleman on an entrance wall, but the mill's historical significance is not well known. Even some of Coleman's relatives in Concord never heard about it until they were grown, such as Rodney Smith. He'd never gone inside the building until last month.
I really am impressed. That's real wood. Yep.
Rodney and his brother Michael Smith say they didn't know the Coleman Mill once was African American owned and operated until they saw a local public television report on Coleman.
I think I was like 18, and I do remember my grandfather saying something like, "That's my great uncle, and Rodney, that's your great 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 uncle." It was a great honor.
I am more frustrated. It's not in history books. We should be learning about that in our own American history, that this black man has accomplished during that time that he was able to break barriers.
The Coleman Mill has received more attention in recent years. A section of U.S. 601 was named Warren C. Coleman Boulevard in 2001, and this year came recognition from the National Register of Historic Places.
Every time I drive on Warren C. Coleman, a sense of pride that he bestowed on the actual Concord area. I hope that is always something that will never be torn down, and the National Registry will make sure that it's always recognized.
Not to worry, says owner Bill Bryant.
I'm not going to demolish the property. My children are aware of the property and they know what it stands for. Before they would ever inherit it, I'm sure that I would have some documentation that explores my vision for the property.
There's talk of possibly putting an African American museum in the mill. Bryant says he's open to that as long as it does not interfere with his current tenants' businesses. For WFAE News, I'm Gwendolyn Glenn.